Greetings to you all this evening as we come together to resume the worship of God on the Lord's Day, and from myself as well, a warm welcome to visiting folk with us today. I pray God's presence among us and his blessing upon us, that we might truly worship him as he calls us to together on this his day. Well, let's turn first this evening in our praise and turning to Psalm 144, 144, page 188. And we'll sing with verses marked 1 through to 10. Psalm 144, from the beginning to the verse marked 10, six stanzas. All praise be given to the Lord, because he is a rock to me. He trains my hands to fight in war, to battle with the enemy. My fortress and my loving God, my Savior and defense is he. He is my refuge and my shield, subduing peoples under me. Lord, why should you take note of man? Why should you hold mankind so dear? For they are like a fleeting breath. Their days like shadows disappear. And we are going on this evening to look at the great change that the Lord effects in man, that man doesn't need to remain just a fleeting breath, that man may continue and find life eternal in the Lord and that great salvation that he does provide, not just in a physical way for his people, but all the more in spiritual life that he provides. So let's sing then Psalm 144, verses 1 to 10, standing to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together as well.
All praise be given to the Lord, because he is a rock to me. He trains my hands to fight in war, to battle with the enemy. My fortress
Now let us pray together. Indeed, the praises belong to you, O Lord our God, and the thanks unto you as the gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, that you have heard such prayers of your people, that you have heard the prayers of our hearts, and that you have reached down your hand from heaven on high, that hand that has been open with a great and precious gift, the hand that has opened to take hold of all who will come to you in faith, faith in that great gift, your own Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. We give thanks, O Lord, that according to this, and according to the opening up of your word by your Spirit and the word that reveals Christ to us, we need no longer have fear of those enemies, of the attacks, of all that might come from those who are your enemies. May we rather come fully trusting in yourself, knowing that you provide us with all things. For what is warfare? That we will not be blind to this, that it is not perhaps the war of swords of steel or guns or other similar weapons, but primarily that warfare with principalities and powers, the spiritual places. And we give thanks, O Lord, that you do provide those things that we have need of. Cause us all the more to lay hold of them and to stand firm in this day, this generation, this time, that we will stand in your name upon you as our rock, our fortress, our strength. That this will be for our lasting benefit, that it will be for your great glory. We ask, O Lord, that to this end you will grant blessing upon the time that we share together this evening, as we have done through the day, and also with others of your people. We seek that you would bless these things for the upbuilding of your people, of your people as the house of God, the place where you are pleased to dwell. May it be so through coming days also, as we set out on this new week, renewed by your Spirit. We do ask that this renewing might be through your word, that we will know blessing upon it, whether we say it or read it or meditate upon it. We do ask, Lord God, that you would build us up in faith, and that faith will be what leads us and enables us for all that we might do in your service in days to come. We ask, O Lord, that you would prosper your word as it does go out in many different places, places that we do share with in spirit today and to the ends of the world, both what has been done and what is yet to be done on this day around this your world amongst men. So, Lord, to lift up your name among us, we pray. Why indeed do you take note of us? Why do you hold mankind so dear? So dear that you should send your own Son. We pray, O Lord, that we would hold him dear, and that we would give over our lives all the more to his service out of thanksgiving, as we remember once more his great gift of himself, that we might find righteousness before you in and through him. Accept us, O Lord, we do pray, taking away sin, casting it far from us, that in all things we might be heard through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you would turn with me to Gospel according to Matthew, and one reading this evening in chapter 25. And we'll start reading at verse 14. Matthew 25 at verse 14 through to the end of the chapter. Matthew 25 at verse 14. The words of our Lord Jesus. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you. Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So far, may God grant his blessing on his word. May we hear it and be granted understanding. Let us turn then to his praise in Psalm 20, as you find it on page 224. Psalm 20, verses 1 through to 6. Five stanzas. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send. And let the name of Jacob's God thee from all ill defend. O let him help send from above out of his sanctuary, from Zion his own holy hill. Let him give strength to thee. And through to the verse marked 6. Let's stand again to sing to God's praise.
Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble hear us stand, and let the name of Jacob's God be from all ill defend. O let him help send from
together in prayer, and especially prayers of intercession at this point in the evening, in the day. Let us pray together. The Lord, our gracious God, we once more acknowledge your great blessings that have been poured out upon us. Blessings of the day, blessings of our daily bread, in answer to that prayer that you have taught us, that we might bring all our needs of every kind, that we are indeed dependent upon you for the supply of all things. And so as we look back on the day and how kind you have been, we do offer up thanksgiving that it might be to your praises. We give thanks too for the abundance of your blessings, of your word, and of the sacrament this morning. We do ask, O Lord, that you would apply these things, that we would know the effective working of your Spirit upon us, and that it would be true blessings of grace, that these will be means of grace to build us up as your people. We do ask, O Lord, that we would not be forgetful of the great privileges that are ours, especially on this your day. We give thanks especially to, above all things, for that what that sacrament has revealed to us once more, for what your word makes known to us, your great mercies all in Christ Jesus. We give thanks for him, O Lord, and we do pray that what comes out of us will be because of the filling of our hearts with him and with his graces and truth. We ask, O Lord, that his will be the honor in and through us, both now and in days to come. We give thanks for him as our way of escape and salvation from the powers of sin and from the powers that would assault us. And we ask, O Lord, that more and more we will be aware of this and reliant upon him, that he will indeed be the one who to whom thanks is given as obtaining the victory even over our wretchedness. So, Lord, do lead us accordingly. And so it is that we also come to you in him with the needs of others and commend others to you again with thanksgiving that we might do so, that you cause us by the working of your Spirit to look beyond ourselves, which is so much against our sinful nature, and that we might bring to you those who are in needs of various kinds. We do pray that you would establish your people again, we ask, throughout the world. We pray once more for those who do bear hardship for the sake of Christ, of the gospel, and of righteousness. We give thanks where there is some relenting of those who would oppress them, and we do give thanks at this time as we're made aware of slight relief perhaps over the past number of months or couple of years in Indonesia for your people, and we do pray that relative improvement of their situation will be recognized by your people there, that they will use the slight easing, that perhaps a slight measure of freedom, to use it well in your service, as they have done even in times of opposition and oppression. We ask too, Lord, that you would uphold your people where it's maybe not immediately directed to their stand as Christians, but as a result of the life choices that are impelled upon them through their faith, the direction that their life takes that brings conflict with the world around. We do ask, O Lord, that you would grant your upholding grace, perhaps even amongst ourselves as we go out in our daily lives, for our young people in the schools where they can be under assault from a very different view of the world that is at times so thoughtless and careless of the eternal realities. We do pray, O Lord, that you would uphold them and that they might know that they are not alone, but there is the prayer of your people offered on their behalf. We ask too, Lord, for those who have devoted themselves wholeheartedly to your service and have found the weight of this at times, and particularly today we would pray for Manuel Riaño, who has resigned as leader principal of the college in Colombia, in Medellin. We ask, O Lord, that you would guide him in the days ahead as he would take a less prominent role, and the impact that that will have as well within that society that looks upon status so significantly. We ask, Lord, that you would help him to see things as you would have him see them. For his family too, pray for your upholding grace, and for those who work with them. We remember Fiona Christie too, as it looks like she will be returning to Colombia, and for her parents and their concern for her in the problems of safety in that country. We ask, Lord, too, for Marcelly Campbell, also returning to Uganda at the end of the year. We do pray for your strengthening of her in every aspect, in physical needs, in spiritual comfort and encouragement as well. And so many more, O Lord, in need of your help. We pray for your provisions for the Colegio in Lima in their time of stress. We give thanks for the window of relief until the court case resumes, perhaps in April. We pray too for the needs for ahead for the English department and ask that you would supply that need. We remember the folk in South Africa and the college there and their needs for replacement staff for men soon to be retiring. In all of these things, O Lord, we give thanks that where it is so far beyond our understanding of how these things might be filled and supplied, yet we can bring them to you and know that your plans are perfect, that you will provide as necessary, that you will guide. May your people be ready to take that direction of your Spirit. May we have those ears that truly do hear, and to be guided especially by the rich indwelling of your word in us. May it be so for us now as we come to your word, that it would be that which fills us and guides us in our thoughts and our understanding. May we have that spiritual wisdom that we would lack entirely except by your grace and your favor. Hear us, we pray, accordingly, and in and through Christ Jesus, our Lord, for his sake. Amen. By way of a text this evening, perhaps we can pick up in particular verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25. If you would take open there, that's not the only place that I will be referring to this evening, but we can take that up and bear in mind what's around it as well, as our Lord Jesus himself was teaching his people, his disciples, those who were around him. And just these words as a reminder of what we have heard. Then the King, the Son of Man who comes in his glory, the King will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed or blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Over some weeks we have been looking at some of the benefits that belong to those who have come under the work of God's Spirit, who are believers, those who belong to God, belong to Christ by faith. Most recently we spoke about death and dying, and to realize that for the Christian, the one who does have faith, the Christian does not need to be frightened of death. It is a reality. It is a reality that doesn't belong in the world that God made, but it is here, and yet we don't need to be afraid of it. We have seen how it is an entry into something far better, to take Paul's words to the Philippians. But even that is not all that might be expected. Not just death and what immediately follows that is far better than even this life as a Christian. That's not all that's to be expected. Paul wrote to the Corinthians the second time in chapter 5, and he said, "We who are in this tent groan, being being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. He is looking to something that is even beyond the immediate, that time of the separation of body and soul, even though the soul of the believer is taken to be with Christ in glory. And it's this that I would turn our thoughts towards now, what is to be expected at what is called by the Bible the resurrection. There is a time yet to come, a mark, an occasion, which changes things still further. Just before focusing on that, let me remind you of how we got this far. There are those benefits in life. There are those benefits at death and immediately following it for the believer. But to remind you as well of how these things belong to the person who does trust in Jesus. And it is because he or she has been justified, adopted, sanctified. These are the three vital, life-giving benefits of faith in Christ Jesus. It's these three that gain us all the other benefits in this life, at death and what follows immediately, and also at the resurrection. The reason we need to stress this is that all of these things we're reminded when we focus on the origins, the doorway into them through justification, adoption, sanctification. They remind us that those things are the work and the gift of God. Benefits and privileges, they're not our doing. We at least need to see that. We do remember that justification and adoption, they are our